This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am Chris Spangle, and to my left is Gina Martinez. Gina, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. And there is Greg Lenz to my right.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Lynn Swayze. I almost called you Lynn Patrick Swayze there for a minute. Her lovely nickname.
Comedy's always funnier the second time.
Yes, exactly. I might have hit the machine.
Maybe.
Broke. The machine
I
broke.
I might have hit thumbs up and
oh, that
forward.
Was a new record.
That was a new record for a curse.
I'm just saying, we just recorded like 10 minutes worth of awesome dialogue, and Spangle Bear looks down and goes, oh, I didn't
wait.
Record.
Hey, it's happened before. Episode 1 was actually episode 2 of We Are Libertarians. and episode 3 was actually episode 5. Nice. The reason Lynn is here, Lynn has caused a lot of problems this week. So
Lynn
we're
is troublesome.
This is
I could have told you that.
This is her review. We've called Lynn in to give her an on-air review. Now, Lynn, there was a local series of columns. There are two conservative-leaning ladies who host a talk show and mm-hmm. write a blog here in Indianapolis. And they wrote an article about feminism that seemed to get a lot of people riled up. And you wrote a rebuttal and contributed to the conversation and ruined the discourse. And so we're going to...
Yep.
You broke the website. No.
All of the internet is broken.
Now,
yes.
Now we've asked you to come ruin the podcast.
I have that effect.
So we want to delve into we have our two female correspondents with us today, Greg.
We do.
So I know you're going to be uncomfortable with this particular show.
I was nervous about even coming on.
Right.
I can sense bad things coming.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of what Lynn talks about behind the scenes, and we wanted to get it on the podcast and talk about some of the issues of a little more empathy in politics, mm-hmm. and also some lady issues. Greg, you want to talk some
female problems? Maybe?
You want to talk about lady issues, Greg?
I'm feeling bloated.
All right, Lynn. So
I might just refrain from this recording, audience. I'm on fair grounds.
So Lynn, you tell us a little bit about what the two ladies wrote in their original article, and then we'll talk about what you responded with.
Well, of course, they're coming from a conservative point of view, and it's, I would say they're, you know, straight on GOP, but I'm not conservative, so maybe that put me on defense already. I'm liberal-leaning. Token liberal-leaning here. So they're saying that feminism, you know, that they're taking back feminism for conservative women, that most feminists aren't really feminists because all they want to do is have some sugar daddy take care of them or have the government as a sugar daddy take care of them. You know, that they're lazy, that they just want, you know, free abortions, want everyone to pay for their abortions that are guilt-free, of course, guilt-free abortions.
They poured gasoline and they struck the match.
Oh, it was very, at least very obvious to me that it was not meant to be this is conservative point of view and we value conservative views and this is what we're about. Well, right. It was what we're about, and what they're about is causing a lot of drama.
Okay.
And then
that's their shtick.
Yes.
What they're about is giving a young, quote unquote young.
They're not young.
Hope they don't listen to this. Female perspective of GOP issues.
How much blonde
and,
do you use?
And,
come on.
Yeah,
but
and
I mean,
see,
than
I read it, and I read it as a male, so obviously my opinion doesn't count.
Nope. And you're not reading between the lines either, because men and women talk.
No, I looked for substance, and then, you know, I know their style. I know their style. They're Rush Limbaugh-esque. They are inflammatory, incendiary, everything. That's what they do to stir up trouble. But at the same time, their message was feminism at its core is about self-worth, self-reliance, and independence. And when I read it, I thought, well, I disagree with how they went about it, but it's a solid message.
Lynn, what was your response to this notion? I mean, what did you respond?
Well, I am not the type of person to really like broad brushes. And to me, it was just way too broad a brush. Every single, pretty much they're saying, if you are not conservative, you know, you do not value independence. You do not want to do things for yourself. You do not.
It was essentially saying that a liberal doesn't believe in independent self-value or self-worth.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't be empathetic and independent at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And you, Lynn, are an empathetic person, a liberal-leaning person, and
right.
you are an independent
like I say,
person
I,
as well. Yeah.
Right. I live in the land of gray. I am not black and white. And I guess some of that's just my personality. I react very strongly when people say it has to be black and white because it's not black and white. At least, and for these women to come on and want to be inflammatory and not contribute really, you know, and then to say in such a way that they slap around everybody who doesn't agree with them at all, like it's just, to me, that's not journalism. And so at the core, as somebody who aspires to journalism, you know, I'm reading something in the Indianapolis Star that is supposed to be a publication. I mean, you can't just write. Nobody. I mean, you can submit something in the Star,
yeah.
but it's not like they're taking auditions for people to write columns for them. It's supposed to have some level of something, you would think.
Yeah,
of course, we're still talking about the Star here, but
so you said you.
So it's frustrating.
So as a female, when you read that and you say you read between the lines, what do you read between the lines that Greg or I may not?
I don't know if Gina would want to back me up. Women, we can say one thing and mean something else. Like you can,
Gina may
tones.
Be a different story.
Yeah.
Gina's pretty frank. If you listen to Storytime with Gina,
if I want something, to
but
get
you know,
across.
Other women. Let's say other women that you've been around that you maybe don't like to hang
I've
around with because they're catty.
The
and
the person most capable of that in my life definitely has a penis. But I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, I have an ex-husband. Yes. Women have a way of saying things that, you know, just comes across as catty. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you men, you've been around women, and we say nothing's wrong. Does
yeah.
it really mean nothing?
No.
On the words, literal words, nothing. Does it mean nothing?
I mean, if I say nothing's wrong, I'm thinking about the orange leaf sherbet that I have in my freezer. Nothing is wrong except that I'm not eating that. I mean, that's as deep as I may get.
The lack of spoon is a problem.
Right.
They're not clean. I have to wash one.
Now, when I ask my wife that, there's a whole litany of things that come behind that.
Nothing is right is what that means. Yeah.
Right.
So what do you read into this conservative view of feminism today? Because it's a very... It's them withstanding. They're just sort of an isolated incident. The view of feminists, you know, led by Rush Limbaugh and feminazis, and, you know, it's like, oh, here you go again with, you know, any.
It's very disparaging.
Yeah, I think
obviously.
I think generally the conservative view of any minority group that speaks out, they sit there and they belittle it a little bit. In your definition, I mean, let's define the word for you. What is the definition of feminism?
I think the majority of women who would embrace feminism would embrace the values that these ladies
espouse. Yeah.
And that's not really what I'm disagreeing with.
Meaning independence, equality.
You're saying,
or in advancing, you know, women being able to have careers, like the whole lean in conversation,
right.
You know, things like that. Women being able to do the same things that, you know, men do and be a little bit bitchy and, you know, define our roles for ourselves.
I guess,
absolutely.
You know what? I did see a little bit of that, in that if you are a complainer, that is a weak trait, and you should just grin and bear it. I did get a little bit of that messaging in their article. So I will concede. Maybe that was an area where that's
well, where
not
you
exactly
have that
a
conservative,
feminine trait. Yeah,
that conservative mindset.
Shut up.
Beyond complaining, it's actually making an effort to make an improvement in your own situation.
Exactly.
You leech off the system. Like, get your message right. In the event that you are actually trying to make change for the empowerment of women, you cannot call yourself a feminist because
mm-hmm.
you're a leech off the system. And it's like you're talking yourself into a corner at that point.
Yeah. The big problem is that's a loser politically most of the time, and it gets the conversation stopped. It's like affirmative action. You know, anytime you have to pick a winner, there's always a loser. So that's where
by definition.
I feel like the feminism movement can get into trouble. You know, that's why that's why Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, mm-hmm. started this whole lean-in movement, or has contributed to it greatly, and it's been so successful, is because she
Well, there's still a lot of debate about that, though.
Embraced, there is, but she has got it.
Movement. What are we?
Sheryl Sandberg is the COO.
COO,
the operations officer of Facebook, and she wrote a book called Lean In, and really, it's a movement of women stepping up in the workplace and not being afraid to advance, stand up for yourself.
It's very white women. Office job oriented, though. Yeah. It really
it's
does not
this is
include
a phenomenon.
Oh, it's,
I have been
it is
in many
huge.
Corporate offices and not seen women.
It's new. It's a new.
New.
It's a new
she
political.
Just wrote the book a year
yeah.
ago.
But
yeah.
what I'm saying is, what woman in an office environment hasn't already taken the initiative to stand up for herself and seek advancement?
Well, Sheryl Sandberg's done a really good job
of not doing it
like Hillary, where she's called the B word when she's assertive and combative and moving up. Sheryl's been great at combining a family life, like giving the appearance of a great family lifestyle, while at the same time being the COO.
Meaning
at the
time as opposed to opting out is the
exactly.
terminology usually used.
Instead of picking. Saying
right.
She has co-managed her personal and her professional life and done a big... She's contributed a lot to the movement.
But the fact is, it is impossible for most women. But the idea that women need to have that conversation, or that as a society we need to have the conversation of how many women have to choose their kids and then can't advance. I mean, how many, you know, you lose so much career experience and everything raising children. The fact that we're even having that conversation is good. And it's, you know, that'd be feminist, if you will. But I have a humanist view of feminism in terms of if it's good for women and it, you know,
then it's good for the planet.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not. I don't view feminism as a political thing, except that, you know, if it's towards advancement and progression and movement, it's good.
But okay. really
progress
isn't.
Progress is progress.
Right.
I mean,
as opposed to, like, these ladies who are, you know, you're not a feminist if you are liberal leaning, or you're, you know, you are socially, you know, you're pro-choice and you can't be a feminist.
If you ask for help, you're not a feminist.
Right.
To be honest with you, if their article had said we would like feminism to include conservative thoughts, nobody would have had a problem.
Right.
But because their
article... They weren't inviting discussion.
No. Because their article said about attacking traditional feminists who identify as such... That is where it became an inflammatory
They were attacking the association.
Right.
And in your article was about saying that conservatism is a fundamentally not feminist movement because of the adherence to tradition.
Well, yeah, if you think most feminists have been...
But the assumption was that either of those two women knew what Burkean conservatism was, which I can guarantee you they absolutely do not.
So I gave them too much credit.
Oh my gosh.
Why are you
yes.
talking about yeah. burkas?
Yes. Their conservatism is...
Was that sexist? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
I think it was blondest.
Blondest. I mean, define... Would either of you ladies... Greg, I know you're not. Would you define yourself as a feminist?
You slut.
Would you say that you're a feminist? I know when we've said this before.
That's okay, ask Lynn. Lynn, are you a feminist?
I can't say I've ever defined myself by that, but I would say if I aligned with a lot of circles, yeah, I would say I probably am a feminist.
So explain the principles of feminism to us.
Usually it's...
Greg, put down the club. Please do not hit her on the head.
Seriously?
No, I would describe myself as a feminist.
That is so rude. You're trying to drag her into your
from
cave.
From the kitchen, you would holler, I'm a feminist?
Really?
Totally.
Wow.
Excellent. Usually when you think of women who proclaim feminism, it's usually pro-choice. It's usually, I mean, it's not usually, let's push women back into the kitchen, be barefoot and pregnant. You know, so it's usually more pro-LGBT,
the
more pro-choice.
Of social stigma.
Mm-hmm. More, you know, we can do it all, you know, we can do it. I mean, it's a lot of the things that these ladies were saying that women want, except that, you know, these ladies don't agree with abortion and don't agree with, you know,
so
a bunch of other stuff.
Here's the...
How are they on gay rights?
I don't think they've addressed it too... No, well, they had that one post. They did have a latest post where they, for the Chris Christie signing that bill into law, and they were pretty much... I mean, they were like, yeah, it's really bad if kids are getting, you know, electrocution. What is it? Electroshock therapy. So they're pretty much, yeah, kids shouldn't get electroshock therapy while they're going through ex-gay therapy. And they just kind of touched on it, saying that they didn't know very much. And their writing style is still very inflammatory. So they kind of went about it in a snarky way. But they weren't like, oh my god, gays
gay
need
kids
to die.
Getting fried or anything like
right,
that.
Right, they had some empathy.
You know,
gay kids shouldn't get fried. Maybe they should wait until they're adults to like decide to go through ex-gay therapy.
Anti child abuse is a strong stand. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying they're really going out on a limb.
Yeah.
But I would say that a lot of libertarians have the view that the problem with trying to create a movement around minority rights is that sometimes you get so focused on the minority rights that you forget that those broader principles of applying freedom and fairness and equality to everyone, that's what it really ought to be about. And I think a lot of libertarians get...
empowering everybody.
Yeah, and the part of their problem is that they were shaming as opposed to empowering. A lot of libertarians are anti-X rights movements. I mean, it doesn't matter what the rights movements are. It's because they don't want to separate people into groups and try and label that group and apply labels to those groups. They want to just espouse the broader principles, and sometimes that, you know...
I think sometimes that either alienates people or gives off the impression that libertarians don't care.
Right.
When that's quite the opposite. And that's some of what frustrates me, is that I would like to see more changing in the political discourse that libertarians have with other groups. Because a lot of times, I mean, if I would ask you, you know, do you think, you know, a gay person should, you know, end up getting beat down here on the street? Would you say yeah?
No way. I would want to go shoot who did it.
Yeah, actually, he's pretty pro LGBT rights.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
I see the problem. The libertarian philosophy isn't
set up to analyze
this. I think
Greg would perform an LGBT wedding.
Absolutely. I would love to perform illegal weddings. So if you're a gay couple in Indiana, you call me. I will do it with the power vested in me by whoever.
We joke about Greg, but Greg's every bit as libertarian as anybody else. I mean, it's about equality and freedom and justice and equality for everybody. We want everybody to have those same rights, those things that, in a veiled way, these ladies wrote about, which is be independent, be an individualist, be unique. What we disagree with is the way that they go about it, the mm-hmm. shaming of people who, you know...
But there are two really structural issues with the libertarian perspective that don't make this possible. Is one, the individual is the social unit of analysis. So we look at everyone, each individual, because that's the smallest minority on earth, and say, listen, you're an individual, you have these rights, absolutely. There are no groups. There are voluntary associations. And then two, any time we would say to, or for instance, like the Lily, let's say we had an affirmative action for women to try to narrow the wage gap. Someone's losing. That's force. Libertarians are not set up to handle a discussion like that. We don't have the intellectual framework to deal with it.
Well, that's where we would need to come in and actually change culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I see where, and how do you do that? I mean, the question is, how do you do that? But the question comes in not in, I think people think that because libertarians aren't for, you know, these niche groups, that they don't care, they don't want to do anything, when the fact is we need to do something, but do it differently.
Yeah, we also don't want to use government force
right.
to force anyone to do anything that they don't, that imposes, infringes on their values. We don't want to elevate one group above another to fix inequality by creating an inequality.
Right.
You know, we need to smash through certain things. I mean, in my mind, what's happening here in Indiana is there's another push for the Gay Marriage Amendment, HJR 6, here in Indiana. And the opposition group, instead of being pro-gay marriage, have labeled themselves Freedom Indiana, I think is what they're calling it, Freedom Indiana. And they've hired as their point person, their representative, a local Republican campaign manager who led the mayor of Indianapolis's reelection campaign, has worked on statewide Republican candidate, very well-respected woman named Megan Robertson. And they have framed it as freedom, as liberty, that this is about freedom and liberty for everyone. Because
Eli Lilly's in on this, too.
Eli Lilly's, all the...
Mm-hmm. Cummins.
Cummins has spoken out quite a bit, though, about...
Yeah, we did.
And my husband was pretty happy about that. He's a diesel mechanic. He's like, yes.
I used to work there, and we actually created the LGBT affinity group, which... Yes. we named really poorly, but we did a beautiful job, I think, at getting some things accomplished.
Yeah.
I say we named poorly because that organization uses acronyms for everything. When you first hire on, you get a list of acronyms 15 pages long.
Wow.
Just so that you know what building you're in, what structures you're working with, what types of...
So is it like, you think it's worse than the military?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I've never been in the military, but you honestly, honest to God, guys, get a list of acronyms that is just pages and pages long. And when we added the affinity group for the LGBTQ and friends...
Oh, wow.
Affinity group... When you ended it with and friends, AG, your acronym has a slur in it. And so I had to laugh because I was out pregnant with Vinny. Yeah, I was out pregnant with Vinny when they named it. And when I came back, they wrote it up on the board. And I was like, no, 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 don't abbreviate it. And
somebody
realized,
write that out for me later.
Who wrote the LGBT fag committee?
Right. Oh, okay. LGBT and friends affinity group.
Greg, was that you?
I'm sorry.
No, nobody
it was
noticed.
An inside job. I did the minute
job.
I got back. The minute I got back, I was
it
like,
was an
no!
inside job.
But
it's a conspiracy.
I watched it happen before my eyes, but it was great. Anyway, the group does amazing things. This is evidence of it, or we wouldn't be hearing about the Freedom Act of.
Well, and the thing about HR6 is, unlike other states, is that this isn't a movement for marriage equality. HR6 isn't going to let gay people marry. Mm-hmm. It's just going to solidify what's already in, you know, our laws.
It is.
It's really a pointless. I mean, it's.
It is putting discrimination into our constitution.
To make
our
it
state
very, very hard to change in like 2 years when everybody decides. You know,
God, I'm just going to sit back and let you guys speak my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's when
it's
you
a waste of resources,
when you are putting frankly. The gay marriage amendment into the constitution, think of how hard it's going to be to change. Many, many years from now. And all these local employers...
How ugly it's going to be when your grandkids look at it.
There are a lot of... I have a friend who knows a gay couple who moved from Virginia where they had put a gay marriage amendment into their constitution. And they had moved here for work. And they're like, we don't want to have to move again. We moved because of the bigotry of Virginia. And now we are thinking about having to move again. So it's
IU lost a really prominent professor, a doctor of something amazing in medicine, because he would not move here because of the HJR6.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean,
proposal.
It's
even.
And
I
the
believe it.
Attitudes are shifting so quickly here in Indiana. From
why it's amazing why they because they had stayed it for a while. So we want to hear what DOMA is, you know, Prop 8's about.
I'm
so
really
they
proud of us though as a state.
And then they started it back up again.
That the so attitudes are shifting.
Look who the governor is.
Right, and Shocking. I think
well.
And
yeah,
I think so. If you
that's multiple
to bring it back, I think when we're talking about minority rights, or when we're talking about feminism or affirmative action, libertarians need to speak with empathy. Don't just think.
I think we need to engage, but engage differently.
Right.
And I think the tendency is to not engage at all, and then we lose out on people who, you know, would otherwise join, who are joining more liberal movements because they feel like we don't care, don't represent them, when that's the furthest from the truth.
Yeah.
And it really is how we frame the conversation, and we're not framing the conversation very well.
And that's why I think framing the conversation as Freedom Indiana and putting a Republican in charge of the group is so much better than putting some,
perfection.
A liberal, brilliant. You know, the person who led it last time, he's a great guy, but he's also a liberal Democrat flamethrower who's a lobbyist. You know, you found a Republican who will be able to work on the very people that they need to erode, because here in Indiana, mm-hmm. we have supermajority Republican in the House, supermajority Republican in the Senate, and a governor. I mean, it can just breeze right through, and you're probably going to get a lot of a lot of people in Indiana voting to pass it.
Oh, I can see that absolutely, given all out of, everywhere else in Indiana.
It is a great campaign fundraiser, especially for local level politics, because the more socially conservative you can show you are, really the only people who are engaged in local politics are the gray hairs.
Yeah.
So they are hell-bent against it, and you go out and say, no gays are getting married here.
I saw a study. Was it Townsley, Jeremy Townsley, who posted it? He might have. He posts a lot of cool studies. It was, I don't remember where it was, what part of the country, but that a certain segment of the older population thinks that the Republican Party is too conservative.
Really?
Yes. I will have to try to find it. but that they actually think that it's going too conservative.
It's the crowd that is the reason VD is going up in the nursing homes.
They like to party.
They like to get crazy.
they go to foam parties in the bottom of gay bars where people go shoeless.
Oh, my.
Craig, what is feminism? Are you one?
I would absolutely say I am. I believe in 100%. It's funny, this will sound horrible, but I don't know that I would brand women, though. I don't know that I'd pursue equality.
No offense.
I would never brand them. Let me say this. I would never brand them before I would auction them off.
That is so progressive of you. You would never put a flaming hot brand into their behind to mark them.
We had the same thought.
Yeah. You are so progressive.
Well, they try to run away, so just my fence. I have trouble keeping them all in there.
I wonder why your girlfriend had a shock collar.
Exactly. Well,
you're right.
She's strong on plow, Chris. Anyway, I know what I'm saying.
You'll never get this.
I feel like equality is a false pursuit. I always feel like that's a false endpoint because women are so distinct, and you have a better viewpoint.
I love it when you speak. I really do. Continue.
Yeah, no, you are. You have such a better viewpoint for looking at these things. Like, I would have never read that article and said, oh, they're saying something in between the lines. And then I'm like sitting here like, yeah, you know, they were a little bit. I guess they were. And it's an important part of the conversation, and you guys see things in a totally different light. And separate but equal has the most racist connotations ever, but in all reality, I feel like that is the pursuit. You guys are 100% distinct as a group, but you bring a totally different perspective to every conversation you enter, and I feel like that is the real value of feminism, that it isn't represented well. It's represented as, well, we're just as good as men, or we're, you know, no, you're better.
When it's
you're
different,
better.
Different strengths.
You really got away from that whole discussion not saying a word, Gina. And you, when you jokingly call Gina a feminist, she really bristles and gets, like, angry. Anything you'd like to say about feminism?
There's a thousand things I would like to say about feminism. I think feminism shoots itself in the foot more than anyone else shoots feminism in the foot. I think that's why I have such a hard time saying I am a feminist. And it's not because of any one thing or any one behavior or any one set of values. It is just that feminism itself is so, by definition, undefined that I refuse to define myself by such terms. While I do agree with the basic principles that most people hold as feminism, I still cannot identify myself as such because you get the Sarah Palins and the
Michelle Bachmann's.
And the list goes on and on.
Debbie
Walker,
Blabbermouth Schultz.
Yeah, I'm not going to attack personal individuals here, but you get these individuals who in one way or another embody certain forms of their concept of feminism, and I simply can't get on board with the direction that they're going in. And so then to say I'm not a feminist or I don't subscribe to their brand of feminism seems unnecessary when I could just walk through life being me, not bringing my vagina into the equation, and hopefully you can meet me on common ground. Because anything that I want for myself, and I mean anything, I want equally for someone who happens to have a penis. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. And I think that most feminists are in a search for equality, and I think exactly like what Greg said, that was poetry. Equality does not need to be the end point. I think that we're reaching for the wrong star here, kids. And I think that when we get there, we're not going to know exactly what to do with ourselves. I had some thoughts on this week. And I'm going to get roasted and I'm going to get flamed. I can see it coming now. But up until the, when did we get Rosie the Riveter, that image?
World War II.
Up until the war-torn era of our history, mothers did not work. Mothers,
there were no jobs for women. I mean,
there
not
absolutely
really.
Were not.
I mean, you were a
for
tailor,
women.
Or you were
maybe
a writer.
If you were a single woman raising children and you needed to raise funds, you did not have the options that are available.
Well, even
now.
Legally, I mean, divorce wasn't favorable to women. I mean, there were just so many things that made it impossible for women
to live an independent lifestyle.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so that we've made these advances in benefit of a certain group of women is a wonderful thing. But I do believe, honestly, and I'm just speaking from the heart here, a certain level of our society has suffered detriment because now it is expected of you. It is expected of you to have a job, particularly if you have children. So who does that leave to raise your children? Sometimes your other children, if we're talking about the case of you know, mothers who are really struggling, have to have the 2, 3, 4 jobs to make ends meet.
Someone you don't
You've
know.
You've got a 12-year-old taking care of a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old, making sure dinner gets on the table. And I'm sorry, tell me what woman that helps.
Right.
Tell me what woman that benefits. Explain to me what society gains from that, because it's sure the hell not ours.
Well, that's where we need to have a conversation about bigger picture and not just talking points, not just be independent or just get a job or, you know, stop mooching. So I'm the token Jewish convert here. And do you know why men wear
You killed my Lord and Savior. Why did you do that?
Why
you
men
give
wear
him
the,
back.
The kippahs, the... Yeah. The
I wore one
hats?
When I did a wedding once. It was
really?
Great.
But you know why men wear them and not women?
Why?
Because women are always aware of the spiritual. They don't need to be reminded. Men need to be reminded of the spiritual. So they wear the head covering to remind them of God, because women are naturally more aware.
I agree.
So no, it completely falls in line with what you're saying.
I know. Right. That is great. And I mean, I 100% agree with that.
That is part of the conversation, too, that it leads into empathy. Men are a brutal creature. We are
cavemen. We're just socialized now.
You know, I think men are direct. They're gruff. They're, you know, even today's sissy man is just a little uncaring. And I think we have a problem in society where when we enter politics into a discussion, just like when these two ladies enter politics into feminism, or when we enter politics into gay marriage, it immediately polarizes everybody, and everybody shifts back to their tribes, back to their camps. And we have a problem with political language, and I think this article really exemplifies part of the problem. It speaks without any kind of empathy. It speaks without any kind of notion. Like, they're just preaching for their choir. They're just preaching for their team so they can get a few more Facebook likes. They're not thinking about writing an article that might convert someone who is on food stamps to their point of view about individualism.
Right.
They're not trying to write an article that will make a, you know, a leftist women's studies professor
to provoke the conversation to kind of present their views.
They're trying to get an emotional reaction,
which they really don't even want.
Right.
Because historically, with these two ladies, with their blog, what happens is they even roasted someone who was conservative, who was saying, hey, you know, you don't need to show a lot of skin to sell conservative viewpoints. This other blogger, I don't remember her name, but she was like, hey, you know what? I believe that conservative viewpoints are respectable, that they're worth defending, worth talking about, worth blogging about. And she's like, I don't think we need to use sex to sell. And these ladies roasted this chick. They roasted this chick, and so did all of their followers. Mm-hmm. This also happened with Genevieve on Twitter and on their Facebook comments and on their blog. I mean,
which
pretty
is
much
who?
Saying, Jenna, she wrote a letter to the editor, or, you know, I guess rebuttal that was published by the Empress Star, one of the ones that was, you know, more formally published. And they roasted her. They called her every name, maybe not them, but they allowed their followers to call this chick, who is probably my age or younger, every name in the book. You know, she's entitled, and she's, you know, blah blah blah, and, you know, she's a liar, and
again,
you set the tone as a,
right.
as a
she's a liar.
No,
the
no.
only thing that'll sell conservative feminism is sex.
Yeah, so
ridiculous.
Here's my question: a lot of today's political language is, especially coming from the right, a lot of times, and maybe it's just because I'm more apt to read a right blog than I am a left blog. You know, when I read political discourse, it's about a raw emotion or evoking some sort of raw emotion, not as much evoking a thought. You know, when you talk talk politics on Facebook, you spend your time on Facebook trying to people don't tell you what they think in response to your point. They spend their time trying to tell you what you thought when you were making that point. Like, it's anti-intellectualism in a lot of ways. Like, give me your point of view, and then we'll discuss and debate from there. We've sort of lost that in the internet age. So,
Do you think people are capable of what I call premise discussions? Like, the way I like to discuss is, here's my premise. Mm-hmm. I expect the person that I'm talking with, which I almost never get, you know, except with, like, you guys, I expect them to give me their premise. Let's talk about our premises logically and come up with a compromise or a conclusion, or say, hey, at least I understand why the other person thinks this way. Because oftentimes people are talking at other levels.
Because America.
Right?
Maya actually yesterday...
Some people just can't handle this much freedom.
Maya and I were talking about the podcast, and she was like, yeah, I just sit there and you guys all come to a consensus on an issue and it drives me crazy.
Everybody agrees and I get so pissed off.
I'm like, you're all wrong. I'm like,
philosophically against agreement, is that?
Yes.
Right. No consensus ever.
It is dangerous, though. Groupthink absolutely is a real thing.
And that is why, yeah, and that was her sort of her point is that, you know, sometimes you have to have a person in the middle of the discussion just screaming, you're all idiots, to pull you and make you think a different way by being a little hyperbolic.
A lot of times, though, it's hard to find
philosophy,
the premise.
Philosophy, according to Maya.
Oh,
and if you approach, if you approach
is hyperbolic,
the
really, how we're going to describe Maya?
I think it's. Can you come up with a better word?
Oh man,
inflammatory.
15, yeah,
inflammatory.
Social terrorism.
Social terrorism. Yeah, and Maya, I said, you know, Maya, your point is not to come here and try and get us all to build a consensus with your point of view. You're here to make the audience think about your point of view.
Mm-hmm. Present even another point, right?
Right, exactly. So I hope that we do a good job of trying to make people think with some depth as we talk about these topics. But how can we improve? How can the discourse improve? What are the things that we can do to have a better informed, less stressful, less angry, less barbaric political conversation when we're talking to people on Facebook and online?
The rule of three whys. This was one of my favorite things I ever read from Thomas Sowell. So like you're in Facebook, you're in a discussion. And he would always call it the third level thinking, and you'd use three whys. And so he'd have freshman level economics, and they'd come in and talk about, well, this is good for the economy because of so. And he'd ask why. And then he'd ask why again, and then he'd ask why a third time. And usually it was that third why that he was able to crack someone's foundations and get them to change their viewpoint. As opposed to if someone comes on and says, like, or the chick, or sorry, can I even say that?
Yeah, it's all right.
The chicks on the right, we've done such a good job of not saying them. And you say, well, why do you believe, you know, conservatism represents feminism? Make them explain themselves. And most of the time, they can't get beyond the first why. Mm-hmm. And then when they do, it scares the hell out of them. And so then they start doing ad hominem attacks and they start all the other logical fallacies. That's what they run into. They're just not. It scares them to have to confront why they believe what they believe.
That is that is the main reason I am a libertarian, because I would just listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity all day. And then I would go and try and talk to Abdul or Andy Horning, and I would use those same talking points and they'd ask why. And they challenged my point of view, and it finally got to a point when I would argue with those two that I couldn't defend what I believed. I realized I didn't really know what I believed, and I even think there are a lot of libertarians walking around.
That's some of the problem, though.
Yeah, I think there are even a lot of libertarians. I think any group inherently has that level of people who they just repeat what Ron Paul says. They just repeat what Rand Paul
said. Well,
that
happens in religion, too. I mean, you just have people who just, and you're never going to change that. There are people who will think at a certain level, and that's it. But the problem comes when those type of people enter into discourse and
start making decisions on behalf of everyone else.
That's, right. Well, yes, absolutely.
Which is why I am not a feminist.
The point is, in those discussions, though, isn't necessarily to change their mind. The point is to put a crack in their foundation, and hopefully they walk away from the conversation going, oh, crap.
See, I don't think people are even getting that point.
The second reason I am a feminist is Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why? I think Spangle's favorite line is like bumper sticker political ideology.
That's exactly right. I mean, the majority of what Sarah Palin says can fit onto a bumper sticker, and it doesn't go much deeper than that. And she was very close to being our vice president. And
laws based on that, I think is what you're getting at. Passing laws based on a very, very small, simple idea sounds really good. Mm-hmm. And I like to say this, nobody needs to be convinced that equality is a good thing. Nobody needs to be convinced that liberty is a good thing.
Justice is a better word. I'm sorry. I think justice is a better word than equality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. But I think people spend so much time trying to convince other people why some group needs this or that instead of just having the bigger conversation that you're talking about. No.
Just define what your principles are. I mean, it really just does boil down to the golden rule. And it's not a Christian thing. Every religion has the golden rule. It's a very simple prospect. You know, treat others as you'd like to be treated. Would you like to be murdered? No. Would you like to be lied to? No. Would you like to be enslaved? No.
I'm not a fan of enslavement, for the
record. No. I mean...
Let's get that all on record.
I mean, the fact that Greg lives in my basement and chained to one wall is just a detail.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I voluntarily signed up for that. I mean,
voluntaryism, kids.
Would you like to put lotion on the skin? No. So
shut up and do it!
My name is... But never mind. I won't do my Buffalo Bill impression.
Which is also why I can't be a feminist, because I'm a fan of raping Gregs.
Okay, wow. Wow, should I...
Multiple!
No, Gregs.
Greg and the other Greg.
So I'm being your cheated name, on, apparently, so, in my own basement.
If your name is Greg, Gina's address is...
If your name is Greg, you're very aware.
Yeah.
She's hiding in the bushes, and she can because she's little. So...
I'm allowed to laugh at that.
Yeah.
You absolutely
it's okay.
are.
Lynn's a girl. She can laugh.
She can laugh.
Let's
also, Lynn's tiny, right?
Yeah, I can fit in kids' like chairs, and I wear kids' shoes. Like, at my lower weight, I fit into kids' clothes.
Yeah, Lynn and I are about the same size. It was pretty funny when we...
They're like...
When I'm at my ideal weight, I wear, like, girl size 10 pants.
Yeah.
Nice. Kid you not.
They're both, like, 4'3 and 64 pounds.
Really not that small.
No. Two of us combined are at least 6 feet of scary.
Two of you combined almost might make a Chris or a Greg. So, it's a true thing. Like... Lynn and Gina both have to have car seats when they drive their car.
Oh, stop it.
Only in the state of Missouri.
And it's a booster. You know,
One day you'll get over 70 pounds.
Women can drive?
Oh, my God. The one feminist
Somebody
on the
get
podcast.
A law. Pass a law.
Pass a law. This is outrageous. So let's talk about softening our political conversation, not just making it more intellectual.
Let's
tickle it. These two brainiacs that made their political...
The brain trust.
The brain trust of these two ladies.
I saw comments that were like, these ladies have like masters in summa cum laudes and like...
What?
Journalism and law.
So you know
the
what?
University of Phoenix.
I haven't researched this. It could very well be
true.
It could be true.
But their commentators believe that these ladies are like deities. It is really, really scary.
They could be. I have absolutely no experience.
Listen,
I would think deities would have less wrinkles.
They frankly...
Wrinkles.
Oh, my.
Frankly,
see?
They just bought...
See?
Which is why
I'm trying
playing.
To move on, Greg.
Okay.
Frankly, they just bought Facebook and Twitter likes, and so the local
it's
news
so
outlets...
It's so obvious that they purchased their Facebook
yeah,
profile.
And so what they...
So blatantly obvious.
People think that they are have
Look
a following.
Look at those eyes coming out of Greg's head. He's like, I can't believe we're touching this.
Sorry, it's true. And
we're just being honest.
Supposed popularity means that you are allowed to have a voice. There's
an
little
inflammatory voice.
There are little. There's
Gina's drinking wine. We should also point out. I'm on my second bottle of wine here. And
one day I will get this point out. There is little rigorous intellectual exercises taking place. Just because you have a large following doesn't mean that you are a voice that gives good political analysis. I mean, their commentary on Bradley Manning was zoink. True.
Yeah, but you're...
Was that literally what they said?
That was their whole commentary on Bradley Manning was zoink. Like, I don't know what that means. Like,
I know, but you are...
The right...
In their defense, the Bradley Manning thing's pretty complicated. It's pretty involved.
The right... And we'll get to civility and politics next.
Are we going to discuss Bradley Manning? Because that seems like the next logical...
We can in a minute. I have to suspend our conversation on civility and politics. The right... Commentary on the right seems to be full of morons. Would you agree with me, Greg?
It there sounds like a critique of capitalism.
I think the most popular morons get
See,
the most
I don't
attention.
Read conservative stuff, so I
Yeah, but
not
when
really...
it does get our attention, it's always the morons. And I can see where you're coming
yeah.
from. I'm sure that there are logical-minded conservatives. I've personally never met one, but I'm certain that they exist.
Sure, George Will, Charles Krauthammer.
Where are our standards when it comes to... This is really my question. When we are trying to consume political thought, when we're trying to look for political analysis, what are our standards? Mm-hmm. I mean, my standards, I like George Will. I like Charles Krauthammer. I like Glenn Beck because I may not agree with them, but they have a point of view that when I read them, I go, huh, You know, there is that moment of, I have never thought of that. I've never thought of it that way. I see
They're
your point of view.
They're not just
regurgitating. Regurgitating. But you go, you go to places like townhall.com and you don't learn anything. You don't walk away going, I feel like I'm smarter today. You know, you do when you go to Reason. You do when you go to Cato. You do when you go to WeAreLibertarians.com.
That's because people, right. I think...
Nice high plug. Five.
People just want to read what they agree with.
That's called the echo chamber, is that what they call that?
Yeah. See, I don't know, though. I mean, the point for these girls is to boost their popularity, make money, and they are hell-bent on doing it, so they're going to take the fastest way from A to B.
It's the same... It's the Sydney Leathers problem. It's about personality HIV. And enriching yourself.
Porn and HIV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to the second porno.
Oh, I
porno.
Still remember that.
Hibby Sydney.
Oh, and my husband totally agrees with Ryan's statement about these ladies and their poor husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agrees.
I don't know. One of the things I will give them credit for is they said, you know, we love our husbands, we love our families, but even if we lost our husbands, it would devastate us, but it wouldn't change who we are as individuals. And I thought that was a powerful thing to say, and I really like that.
Probably especially from a conservative point of view, that tends to be.
I guarantee you, every day that they wake up and they pick out their outfits, they wonder, would my husband think I look sexy in this? Because it will. It would fracture.
No way. They think, how many Facebook likes will I get?
You think?
Have you seen some of the photos?
Oh, yeah. Hold on now. Just because you wake up and you think, like, this might make
if
me attracted
you married
to my mate.
A person,
doesn't mean that you're not
no,
an.
No. If you have married a person, you have
you
altered part of your identity
okay,
for them.
I understand.
That I mean, gotcha. Especially as a woman, you have absolutely taken on their name. You have taken on the responsibility of cohabitating with them. You have taken on the responsibility of making a child with this person. You've taken on a
There's
tremendous amount
you
of
have
responsibility.
To do just to...
Yeah, and if you do it while you're young and that person changes over time, there you are. You're in that situation.
It's not like I haven't made concessions. Do you know how many times I have to watch Lifetime? You know how hard that is for
Do
me,
you know
Gina?
How
oh,
much
sorry.
I love finding a good based on a true story film. And we're all aware.
Hold on,
of it.
Though, now. This had
Wait
Jennifer Loa Hewitt in low cut dresses. This wasn't like entirely
no,
your worst
no.
nightmare, was it?
Teenagers getting pregnant in Connecticut. I know you remember that story.
Oh, I do. That was a great
yeah,
story.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That was based on a true story, Greg.
Yeah.
Spanglebear watched the whole Lifetime
Spanglebear.
Episode.
And he sat here and wept.
What are your. Leapt. When Weeped. You are preparing for this podcast and you are consuming political news.
Yes.
What are your personal standards when it comes to looking for...
Very low.
you did send a link from Infowars.com today,
I
Gina.
Sure did.
So.
Very low.
So maybe
but when I send a link from Infowars.com, I'll put a question mark. It'll be like, hey guys, legit? Question mark. Meaning like, I don't know how to research this information. Something tells me you do. And Greg had the information, and the information was legit.
Right.
From Infowars.
Yeah.
Right.
How which, often does that happen?
Which
never.
Quite often, actually. The thing is it's always first identified as a conspiracy, and then 20 to 30 years later, it's validated as accurate.
I think it's going quicker than that anymore.
Well, I mean, like we dropped different
Act
chemical weapons on the city of St. Louis and wanted to see how they'd respond without ever telling anyone. And sure as
what?
It was San.
Wow, that was real.
San Francisco. Or was it
St. Louis was the one I read about.
Okay, it happened multiple times.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of chemicals are we talking about, kids?
It was during the Cold or the World
40s.
War II. Yeah, World War II. They were testing different chemical weapons and wanted to see how they'd react, and that's why they had such a strong pocket of cancer in that area.
Holy
yeah, no, we have
wow.
a horrific history of testing on our own citizens, not just Tuskegee. It was on, was it BuzzFeed?
BuzzFeed,
or it was some, you know, the it was an article this past week about scientific experiments, the horrific scientific experiments here in America, and you know was dropping biological weapons on San Francisco in the 1940s just to see how people would react. It's you know taking in the German scientists that you know worked on Holocaust victims and stealing their data for our own purposes and giving them. Safe harbor after the war. You know, we have done some
horrific
pretty terrible
things.
That's
how we got NASA pretty much, is we stole all of the German scientists who were working on their rocket program and said, hey, help us get to the moon.
Plus Area 54.
Okay, so back to the original question. We're
watch Independence Day.
We're drifting away here.
Sorry.
Personal standards when it comes to political analysis. Greg.
For me, I actually go back. Like I read a ton of William F. Buckley. I watch all the firing lines. I don't agree. The thing that's dangerous about conservatism, especially for a libertarian, is that the libertarian position is principled. It is principled no matter what. We are resolute in our commitment to the adherence to individual and not using force. With conservatism, there is a suspension of principle when it approaches common sense in certain positions. That's how you get things like the Patriot Act. That's how you get things like the NSA. And that appeals to a lot of people, where you would hope that they would say, no, these rights are ironclad. And that's where you get a lot of converts to conservatism, where they're like, you know what? I trust my government to just go ahead, read my emails. I'm not doing anything wrong, but then we'll take it away as soon as we're sure this Al-Qaeda threat's over. And so, like, even though they're not the best example of great analysis of issues, I always look at more so how they deconstructed every argument and position, because there's no one really that I know of today that does it that way.
I typically look for novelty. People who have an opinion or a point of view that is unlike the mainstream. I dislike people like Todd Starnes, for instance. Todd, just, I'm sure he's a nice fellow, and I'm sure he truly believes what he says, but what he says is what everybody else says. I can tune into Garrison to get what Rush Limbaugh says, to get what Todd Starnes says, to get what Sean Hannity says. You know, I can tune into, you know, I think I like Rachel Maddow. Because Rachel Maddow, as much as she drives me crazy, she seems to have a novel point of view.
She's original.
Right. She's original.
Yep, for sure.
Now, her facts, when you know the facts that she's talking about, you see her twisting it to her point of view. So you take it with a grain of salt.
She's
a
cafeteria fact finder.
Right. Yeah. You know, so, you know, somebody like Jake Tapper, I feel like he is someone that, and Anderson Cooper, you may get a tinge of their bias, but it's up to you to go and fact check them.
Stossel's great.
Stossel is great.
John Stossel's fantastic when it comes to just getting right down to the absolute premise, like Lynn said earlier, of the issue.
I also prefer people who are giving me facts and context and less analysis. You know, I'm not as much big on analysis as I am. Just give me context.
You want to do it yourself.
Yeah, like I like reading Foreign Policy magazine. I subscribe to it because it gives me context that I wouldn't get anywhere else. It's different.
But context is dangerous because context frames the issue. It's almost better to look at the facts and then go from there,
right.
Period.
Part of our problem today is that, heck, who's telling the truth? I mean, it's a postmodern world. Truth is up for debate. I mean,
truth is a matter of context.
Right. When you are reading, when you're looking and researching and finding articles, I mean, Lynn, what do you look for when you're trying to find good analysis?
I consume so much. I can't say there's one source that I go to. I probably should find some that I go to more often, but I just consume so much. I think, like Chris, I look for the novelty, what's different. Because I see so much that's regurgitated that eventually I just gloss over it. So I'm looking for something unique. I'm looking for statistics. So I want to see someone who's quoting, give me the actual original, the data. Give me the original reporting, or give me, you know, I want to look more for the actual data.
You want the Aaron Sorkin perfect news reporter, like in the newsroom.
Right. No, Lynn and I very much so. All right, let's switch topics a little bit and let's talk about Brett.
You didn't ask Gina.
Gina said something earlier.
Oh, did she?
She started the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you have more that you would like to add, though?
I mean, as to where I find my stuff for research.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, switch microphones. I think I just have some really awesome friends. I troll my Facebook feed a lot. The magic Facebook fairies bring me all kinds of information.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I check my...
You're a killer name of organizations. The fairies and the LBT fags.
Oh, wow.
All right.
And she's so...
The Facebook gnomes and trolls come together to bring me all the informations and tidbits. John Stewart, if it weren't for The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert, I wouldn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. Yeah, for sure. I love those guys. Everything that they do is just about as gold. And I don't know, if it looks sketchy to me, if I'm like, nuh-uh, I'll send it to you guys for fact check. Because otherwise, I'm not going to, like, nuh-uh, because
I think we live in, is it just me? Or I think I live in a world where it's like, this can't be real. Like, when I was a kid, some of the stuff I'm reading about now, I never would have imagined would be possible in America. So half the time, I'm reading news, like you, and I'm going, is this real? Like, oh, is this real life? I have, like, lately. What is
this, Chad the dog?
Dennis? Like, is this real life? Like, in my head, when
and
I'm reading
Lynn had
some of
this to walk
stuff.
5 miles to find a newspaper uphill.
In the snow with no shoes.
So those are your so you kind of look for well, one, it's not a bad idea to look for the fringe-type places, and especially from friends.
Because, like I said, I'm blessed with friends that are very involved.
Yeah, Before It's News. That's who you quoted today. Before It's News. Who misses a lot, but they hit a lot. I mean, they were on the NSA scandal, 2 years before anybody else.
Right.
I mean, so you have to take egg on the face when that's your news source, but you are first to the party.
I think a lot of times if you're reading any kind of, and this includes We Are Libertarians, and this is why I tell all of our writers, like, link stuff. If I'm reading The Blaze, if I'm reading The Huffington Post, if I'm reading InfoWars, if I'm reading, you know, any of this stuff, I want to see what the link is. If you're going to tell me about something and introduce some sort of context or fact, I want to know where you got the fact because I want to go and investigate the fact.
And always read it from two sources. You know, if it's an issue like the NSA, go to the National Review, read what Krautheimer or Victor Davis Hanson wrote. Then go over to Salon or The Atlantic and then see what one of Connor Freerdorf, is that right? See what he wrote about it. You know, try to find those two competing perspectives, and that's the best way to really get down to the issues.
And honestly, challenge yourself. I mean, if you can't answer why three times, then are you really solid in what you're saying and what you're telling other people? Because you have a duty, and I would imagine that the hundreds of people that listen to the show, yes, we can't believe it either, the hundreds of people that listen to the show are the person that gives political knowledge to other people. You know, they're the ones that people go to and say, gee, this NSA thing, tell me about this.
But don't give it. You have to set it up, give the facts.
Send them links.
And then say, how would you deal with this?
Right.
That's the only way you
convert
people.
So you're saying
that
people need to actually start discussions and not just share links.
Oh,
but
for
actually
sure.
Start, because what you're saying is a step beyond what most of us do. What you're saying is that if you're politically aware, it's your responsibility to engage discussions, you know, start discussions with other people. So you need to not only share links, but
never
say, hey, what do you think? Or here's what I think. What do you think?
Never. You know, you'll never sell someone by telling them something. The only way you can sell somebody something is if I say, Lynn, why is what the NSA did bad? And defend it.
Yeah.
And then say, well, why is that bad? That's why, well, one, it's why Socrates is dead, but that was his model. You know, that's why everyone hated him, because he went around doing
wild
all the time.
Such an annoying pain in the ass.
Yeah, but
that's exactly what I'm saying, where you have a premise, or you say, hey, what's your premise? Why do you think that?
And never disagree. What? Just say, okay, so why is that? Almost fake engagement and say, okay, why? But do it in an enthusiastic way where they think maybe they're going to sell you something, and then you will crack their foundation every time. And it won't happen immediately.
Or learn something.
It might change your perspective. But every time they will walk away either with a seed planted where it's just going to grow in their mind, like, damn, I don't know why I just repeated talking points. Or they're going to say, or you are going to walk away and say, you know what? I never framed it like that. That's an interesting perspective.
Yep.
Is this Vagina Fest over, or do we have another topic?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Bradley Manning.
All right.
What do you have to do after the show?
So many things. We're just an hour in, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be all feminism. And
no,
it's an interesting discussion.
Because, hey, I mean, we might be going to war
with Syria.
We've
never done it.
It might be time.
Yeah.
Those shift on to new
wacky
topics.
Wacky Syrians. No, I felt like we had a nice little discussion there.
Oh, it was beautiful.
So totally. I'm only going to cut like 25% of that out. mostly Greg.
No, I think Greg stays in. I think what Greg had to say was gold.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. So let's talk about Bradley Manning. Chelsea Manning also.
Let's be sensitive.
I think we have to say Bradley Manning. This is CNN's point of view is that they're going to say Bradley Manning because
the trial, the
waiting
court documents.
Until she legally changes her name. You know, if Maya were here, Maya would say, no, it's Chelsea Manning. She is coming out and saying she wants to be referred to as a female, and she is telling you what to do, and if you don't do what she says, F cis people.
Yes. Go, Maya.
But just
nothing changes minds like hate.
Right. So what we're...
Sometimes.
While we are sensitive to that fact, we are trying to have a discussion, and people are most readily know Chelsea as Bradley Manning.
That would be my point, yeah.
Right. So just so we can make sure that people are fully informed, we're going to say Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning was sentenced to 35 years. You are required under military law to serve a third of that. So after 10 years, he will be up for parole, I guess, their version of parole. And, you know, there are a lot of people who consider what he did heroic. Some, you know, he's a traitor. I mean, where do you all come down on Bradley Manning? Let's start with Gregory.
Where do I like it. I like what he did. I think we have way too much classification. That has been one of the biggest problems and one of the biggest creeps that has happened in government is overclassification. And I think he was a human break on it. He exposed ultimately nothing. I mean, it was lunch menus of the friggin' New Zealand embassy.
And the vulnerabilities were there. I mean, from what I had read, the security vulnerabilities that he took advantage of were, I mean, just like the framework that they held all their data. I mean, if anything, it was the fault of the military for keeping it, you know, as vulnerable as they did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. Because I feel like he might have broken the law, but he didn't break any moral obligation towards the United States government.
Unjust law.
He broke an unjust law, exactly. And I have no problem with it at all.
But doesn't there need to be some secrecy when you're dealing with the military, when you're in the middle of combat?
But isn't it the military's responsibility to confirm that what they need to have secret is
get
kept
better.
Secret? Yeah.
Get better.
And that was kind of the wake-up call here.
Yep. All he did was help you in the long run because you are going to have to adopt different standards.
For 40 years.
Yep.
So would you like me, Greg, to take all of your private emails and put them online in front of WikiLeaks?
I'm trying to think if there's anything bad in there.
That is always the...
You might be a little turned off by some of my Match.com choices, but outside of that, you'd be all right.
Yeah. No, that is always the argument when you try to have this with a conservative, and they always end up with, well, would you like all your Facebook private messages put on
but
your Facebook
wall? But a government
wall?
Is not a person.
Exactly.
A government is not a person, and that's not even a comparable...
Strike that and put the NSA in their place, and that's exactly what they do to us every single day. And the one time one of us gets on the inside and is like, hey, this is what the embassy in New Zealand is having for lunch. Holy shit, stop the presses. Let's throw this kid in jail.
Hang him.
Right.
He's a traitor.
Right.
Everybody knows that New Zealanders don't eat soft shell crab.
Right.
So can you imagine if we hadn't had, if that data was public, that New Zealand would end our affiliation?
Right. So why should government not have privacy?
Why should government
because
not have privacy?
Because we fund government, period. The government's on our payroll. It's our money that funds the government. The government wouldn't exist without us and not vice versa.
Well, and
that's why the government doesn't deserve privacy.
Golf clap for you, Gina.
And I think most of us would agree that, you know, nobody... I know I don't want to see, you know, if we're in a legitimate war that's actually doing... I don't know if we're... I don't think we're in really any legitimate war. But
what
if we're in a
legitimate though?
In principle, let's say we're fighting a Hitler here, and we have, you know, plans for some military.
If they knew MacArthur was the decoy and not the famous general
Patton.
If Patton was the decoy, MacArthur storms Normandy. If they knew that was a decoy, total different course.
I mean,
of history.
There are things that all of us would say, okay, yes, this should be kept secret. But the stuff that we're talking about is not the kind of stuff. I mean, for my sake, like people like my brother, people who are very conservative, will say, well, you know, it needs to be all 100% security and blah, blah, blah. It's not all or nothing. We are talking about a very gray thing here. I mean, it's not all or nothing.
We're talking about the difference in human lives. I mean, the Patton, MacArthur, Normandy example puts the lives of soldiers at risk. What Bradley Manning did is expose murder by American soldiers, and that makes us uncomfortable because
not what Snowden did.
And what Snowden did is he exposed that 75% of our emails, basically the government is treating 75% of all internet traffic like it is terroristic. As I think Joe pointed out today, 40% of online traffic is porn. So it must be really like terroristic porn. I don't know. But
Jihad porn.
Jihad porn.
Twin towers going into a hole.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Gina Martinez.
Two twin towers going into a hole.
Oh, my.
Where are we partying?
I'm so tasteless.
Too soon. Too soon. So yeah. They basically are treating 75% of the internet, meaning you, as terrorists. And
definitely us.
Right.
In our discussions.
For sure, because right. You guys beta tag it with the keywords. I keep telling you, this is all your fault.
I think just knowing Maya is enough to like, yep.
Right.
Yep,
we're all on list.
For
you
sure.
Know that we have FBI files.
Like, so
ergo.
I am pretty sure by like just virtue of my brother that I have, like they like started like just on the safe side.
Right.
And then like I get with you guys and I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I fund Maya.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm a
give money to.
You're the grand poobah of
Mayaism.
I'm like the King Abdullah of social terrorism.
You are.
That's
what I'm going to call you. You're the Bin Laden of social terrorism.
I'm the guy.
Maya's the Bin Laden.
Yeah.
No, I am. Maya is.
You're the United
is
States.
The face
of
I'm the Saudi king of social terrorism.
Yeah, wouldn't you say that, though, that Bin Laden was the face of terrorism?
Right.
And then the Saudi king was the. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here in New Zealand.
Okay, so he's the King Abdullah.
He's King Abdullah.
Of social terrorism.
Okay, so he is the Saudi prince, and
right.
Maya's merely Bin Laden.
Exactly,
right.
Just
exactly.
A puppet of the.
A puppet.
And so when Maya goes away, we'll never see her body. We'll just have to take their word for it.
And Spangle will sit there in his harem while someone feeds him dates.
Yes.
I'm just going to say, Chelsea.
Supportive.
Why would you choose Chelsea?
Seriously,
what was it with the Brianna? Wasn't there a Brianna for a while? What was that about?
I would rather I think that's a better name. I would go with maybe a Misty.
Misty? One of the Misty, white trash names?
Misty Manning.
I'd Misty Christy Manning.
Really Tammy Joe.
I would go Misty with an
I would
I.
totally make you a Tammy Joe in a heartbeat.
Tammy Joe. I'd have large.
Oh my God. Smoking Newports.
Hell
on
yes.
A porch in southern Indiana.
Virginia Slims.
Virginia Slims.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Tammy Lynn.
You could even keep the Poonhound chains. I'll
I've totally
Where
lost.
Where were you and Dale died?
I've totally lost control of this show.
Had control. That happened.
So, Bradley Manning, hero or traitor?
Hero.
Hero.
Chelsea, hero.
Hero. I actually am a little disappointed that what he exposed wasn't more... it's funny. Because he didn't expose any big state secret, he's going to be branded as a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's unfortunate because he isn't. Whereas Snowden got the benefit of the doubt. And really, they did the same thing.
Yeah, and he got much more media exposure, Snowden did, than mm-hmm. Bradley Manning did. And that's one mm-hmm. of the reasons he left, is because they put Manning in a hole, and he wasn't able to defend himself.
That was the reason, finally, that they gave that he left, was because, hey, Manning was treated awful. I'm pretty sure we're going to get treated worse.
Have any of you heard Bradley Manning's voice?
No.
No.
I've never heard Bradley Manning speak.
No. And as much as news as the four of us consume, none of us have ever heard Bradley Manning's voice. And that is the key difference between
or
why
like you
Edward
were talking
Snowden
about in the show report. You know, I don't think I've seen a picture other than him being transported to and from court with
yep.
a couple guards in his uniform.
Yep.
I mean, I haven't searched very hard, but I haven't seen any other pictures other than the cap and, you know,
and the new one with the wig.
Yeah. But that was one that was, I guess, leaked earlier to his superior officer or something. But yeah.
Now jail time. Do you think that Bradley Manning
no.
should serve any jail time?
Not 35 years.
Definitely time served. I mean, how long did they have that poor kid locked up?
3 years.
There you go. 3 years while awaiting trial to complete.
No, and if we adhere to the system that I believe in where whistleblowers get financial reward, I think you should even have a little...
Give him money.
No, I agree. No, that would be awesome to me. Like if a billionaire came out and said, here is a $100 million pot for every whistleblower in the United States, I will grant you clemency in the country of... my choice where I can buy it.
Right.
And
come
here's
to Monaco
your financial
and here's
reward.
Your car.
It's time. We're at the point of a absolute surveillance state. We're getting closer to a plea. We're not even remotely close to as bad as it can get. I mean, we are hardly.
I think UK is worse,
yeah.
frankly.
Yeah.
I think
but
that
it's
you
a
know
scare.
Of.
Gina,
yeah, it's a scare.
There'd
Boston
be people
scare.
In that bush right there staring at us.
Spangle, you told me where I had lunch today. Just remind me.
Yeah. Yeah, that
we,
had nothing to
Gina
do.
Gina is in a total surveillance state.
Yeah,
because
that had
I,
nothing
right.
to do with being a stalker,
I
Gina.
Live in
it was
my
purely
own little total surveillance world.
Yeah,
I texted Gina as she pulled into. I was in the Best Buy parking lot and I saw her pull into Taco Bell and I texted her to get a double steak quesadilla and she got home and saw her phone and she's like, "What? Where? Where were you? Are you following me?"
My tinfoil hat collection is going to grow.
So, don't you believe in the rule of law, though, Greg? I mean,
although this is military court, right?
Right.
I mean, military court, in my opinion, that could be like a whole podcast. I mean, it's the wrongs in military court and the lack of justice. I mean, you could talk about just the women that are raped alone, let alone all the other issues. Like, how is
military
it even just?
Court is a mess.
I mean, how is that type of court even just?
It's our little Vatican City within the United States.
It kind of is, though.
No,
it's outlaws.
40% of the sexual assaults in the military are on men. So it's a huge
judicial. 40% of the reported sexual assault.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Reported versus non-reported.
So
sampling error.
I've spoken to a lot of women in the military, and very few of them tell me I wasn't raped.
Right.
Very
so,
few of them.
I mean, answer this. I mean, we're a country of laws, a country of rules, and especially in the military where you have to follow the chain of command, shouldn't there be punishment? Even if it's a moral cause, shouldn't there be punishment for breaking the laws and the rules?
But then he's already been in 3 years. I mean, if I would have said, hey, okay, sentence.
But again,
just
the law says 1/3 of the sentence.
Here's where my conservatism shows is where conservatism is willing to suspend principle for common sense. And I feel that's an issue that might be an interesting show sometime where if I'm a judge, I say, you know what, I understand the principle, I read the law, but at the same time, I have to analyze things through my human framework. No, he did nothing wrong. What he did was a good thing. It was a net positive. I don't care what the law says.
That's why I would vote for you.
Yeah, right.
And that's part of our discussion with mandatory minimums. There can't be the decision shouldn't be made by general assemblies. The decision shouldn't be made by Congress. It shouldn't be made by the executive branch and prosecutors. It should be made by the judicial branch. It should be up to the judge with judicial discretion when it comes to sentencing it. When it comes to how long someone will get, because every individual case is different.
Mm-hmm.
So
it should be. Now, at the same time, though, it's, heck, this goes back to the ancient Greeks of the ideal versus the practical. And a rule of law is way less, it's way less of a threat than rule of common sense. Mm-hmm. Rule of common sense, you have no principle that guarantees your rights. And so this is one of those cases where someone ends up being the victim of an unjust law, even though in the majority of the time it wouldn't be an issue. But because we are bound by that, Bradley Manning is going to serve 35 years in prison.
Yep. All right. So it's the end it's the end of the show. We have to end quickly because poor Gina. Gina needs a cigarette.
I could really use a cigarette right now.
All right. So end of show. This is your chance to talk about something that we didn't get to talk about or promote something that you'd like to promote. Let's start with Lynn. Anything that you'd like to promote, blog posts, blogs, or topics that you'd like to point out to folks?
I would like to see more women in politics that, I mean, as much as I use, you know, some emotion, I would like to see more women actually promote discussion. I'm really frustrated that the Star thinks that the type of woman that writes, you know, opinion editorials, which is a type of journalism, you know, that's the type of journalism that should be paid for and, you know, is representative of women. I think women can do better. And that's my thought for the night.
I nominate you.
I yes, do. I would nominate Lynn.
So
to do what? Yes, I would too. But
to write for an Indianapolis Star?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
As a chief political correspondent.
I think Gina would
nominate
be a great writer.
Nominate the high school dropout.
Memo.
Gross.
It's a
maybe.
Up.
We'll see.
Gina, anything you'd like to promote?
Yeah, we are libertarians. Obviously, the other little Woo! Podcast thing that I do, telling stories. There's Maya's Schlepp.
The Uncontrollables?
You know, something that I never do generally, I would like to throw out there an organization called SAGE, which is helping with the fight against HJR6 in Indiana. It's Straight Americans for Gay Equality.
Interesting.
And I think it's a very important space that we need to occupy as straight people defending gay rights. I think that if we don't stand up as a group and come to their aid, that we are like the Germans who looked away during the Holocaust. Only not quite as severe.
Nothing says cohesiveness like division.
I should probably add, as a follow-up to that, that I'm supposed to be the leader of Outright Indiana. I'm really sucking at that right now, but there is a Facebook page. There may eventually be a website.
Shouldn't we just blame everything? We said earlier that Lynn was the reason political discourse is harsh. Right. Everything should be Lynn's fault. That's my new policy.
That works for me. You know, I just assume, you know.
Get with it, Lynn.
Outright Libertarians is a national group of Libertarian Party members who fight for gay equality. So check out Outright Libertarians.
Or at least talk about.
Right.
Most of it's talking about those
most
topics.
Of Libertarian,
it's not really. I mean,
most of Libertarian Party stuff is talking about what we're going to do, like the People's Front of Judea.
Wait, to be honest with you, I'm very heavily involved in the SAGE organization here in Indiana, and yet I don't agree with the terminology of straight Americans for gay equality because
horrible.
But it should be for
but
just
Salakba da 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 didn't really work
for
out
gay
either.
Equality.
All right.
Hags.
Hags. Yes, it's like
the adequate gay.
Yeah, we're the hags. That's actually, you know what? That's catchy. Oh, those hags. They won't shut up about those gays.
She's the official acronym maker. I nominate her the official. You know, you need an acronym. Just
those
go
who
to Gina.
Are against this, who the those who are against SAGE are hags. Hoosiers against gay sex.
Nice.
Wow.
That's
well
right.
done.
Hags.
Not bad
right
for a Canadian.
Yeah. Shut
well
up.
Done.
Him and Ted
well
Cruz.
Done, eh?
Eh?
Greg.
No. We didn't touch on. We were going to talk about 2016 prognostications, but we'll wait for another day.
We've only got 3.5 years to get to that, Greg.
Oh, I could talk elections all the time.
Yeah. And I will say attaboy to Ted Cruz for announcing his Canadian citizenship. It is disgusting that he was born in Canada. That should be outlawed. I'm against laws except for those that relate to Canada and the banning of the Great White Menace of the North.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So,
because he belongs to it. He has infiltrated our ranks.
Did anyone see the story where the woman dislocated her jaw? She was British and tried to come to America, and she unhinged her jaw trying to eat a triple cheeseburger. My favorite
America.
Meme of this whole week, and I encourage everyone to go look at it, was... Come to America, you can't handle this much freedom. And it's her with a broken jaw trying to eat this hamburger. I've never been
that.
So proud of America in that moment right there. Not since the founding.
Wow. I'm just saying 98% of Canadians live on the American border.
They're a real threat.
They're a real threat.
Yep, they are.
Go to Facebook and look for the Great White Menace of the North Facebook
But wouldn't
page.
A Canadian plant renounce his citizenship
right.
if he was a really good spy?
And looked really cute in tie-dye?
Listen, as I said previously, Ted Cruz cannot be president. He cannot be trusted.
Nope.
Not at all. No Canadian can ever be president.
Nope. Not possible.
We totally agree with you.
You know why they spurned us once?
Mm-hmm.
That is a little known fact of American history.
French blood runs through their veins. Think about that.
We offered Quebec statehood under the Articles of Confederation, and they said, no, thank you.
They said, no.
Yep.
They
and I'm
said,
like,
no.
Go be French.
Well, because they're still vying to be part of France, and so, you
right.
know.
Oh, yes, because that sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah, because the French don't make fun of them and the,
right,
you know,
and the French can protect
the
them from us from over there.
They are, right. Quebec is to France as Beech Grove is to the Indianapolis. Like, they're our little white trash stepchild.
I spent a year in France, and the only people that, well, no.
Get out.
Out.
Canadians are probably made fun of.
You thought I was dirty on
as
the couch.
Bad as like we make fun of Bush. I mean, it's bad. Like they have whole books on like Canadian sayings and like Belgium sayings just because they don't speak like proper French. Like
Quebec are French NASCAR
you
fans.
Are
French
enough.
That's great.
Pretty much. No, in France, like literally, I would say a word. Yeah, I knew it was a good word. They instead of saying "What does that mean?" they would say "Is that French?" That's how the French think. You do not.
Wow.
That's all. I'm
just letting that sink in about what a bunch of dicks the French are.
I have a horrible thing to say right here, but I'm just going to not say it.
I like how you preface everything you're going to say. You're like, this is going to be really offensive, but I'm going to go.
I have offended so many people in my life by totally unintentionally. Like right there, you're like, oh, the French. Oh, they say, oh, is that even French? I'd have been like, next time a German storms Paris, don't call me. Next time you guys will have shitty cultural food, too.
Oh. Yeah, we'll let it go all the way down to shit food. We'll let that happen.
And then I'll stand on the border and eye them down.
You can get, all the poutine in the world ain't going to save you from this.
Nope. You go ahead. You just roll and lay down like you did once, pansy boy.
We've never had this much of an awesome closing when trying to mention other topics.
Well, I'm just saying, when you mention the Canadians, mocking takes place here on We Are Libertarians.
It all goes to hell.
All right. So that is the end of this show. This show was mildly okay. I would say that it was a solid 7 on a scale of 32.
Yeah. And we want to thank Lynn for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You were like a 31 on a scale of 32.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh,
Greg,
good job, Lynn.
You really brought down our average.
I am what's called the great equalizer.
I did well this evening.
I am the great equalizer.
I'm a fan of Greg's tonight.
So based on a 7 out of 32.
I'm a fan of Greg's on the feminism podcast.
Right. Yeah, who knew Chris. That Greg would be the great feminist?
What kind of kitchen
especially
is that?
Considering yeah. the comments that you had before. You know, you didn't get flamed. Did you?
I know,
right? Did
you
get flamed like you thought you would?
Yeah.
See, the beer helped.
The beer always helps.
Softened up Lynn with a little
I'm a
beer.
Terrible sober person.
I am as well.
I'm a great feminist, too. I think all broads should have equality.
Oh, honey, where's that sandwich?
And so, I'm the one non-feminist here.
Yeah.
I know.
Racist.
So, all right, well, 7 on a scale, now it's a 6 on a scale of 32. So, as a result, next week, we promise.
We'll do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.
This is good. You're more combative.
I know. I hate it.
This is good for radio. Oh, I hate it when those microphones jump out and hit you in the face, don't you?
Are you all right?
Are you okay? I'm great.
Are you all right?
I just grated my nose. Everything's fine.
Oh, it was just your nose? Oh, I thought it gave you a black eye. I was going to be like, well, Gina got a little mouthy, and I didn't want to tell her twice.
Awesome.